You're listening to an LA Kings podcast. For more episodes of this and every other Kings program, visit lakings.com/podcast.
Stockton takes away after a clean D-zone faceoff win. Mackey up the right side, drops it back to the blue line, picked off. Madden banks it off the boards with good legs. Madden into the zone, looking for his second, scores!
Hey everyone, thanks for checking into another edition of the Rain Check. Jared Schaffern and Josh Schaefer with you once again. Great episode for you today. We spoke with Alex Turcotte, who is in his second season with the Rain, Kings prospect who has a very bright future, and it was great to chat with him. So we're excited to get to that in just a minute. But the Rain played two big marquee matchups this past week with the Stockton Heat. We talked a little bit about it. Leading up to this is huge matchup between these two teams, and it was another split. So two straight weeks of splits, a little bit of a slowdown for the team here, Josh, but we'll start with the first game, which happened on a Sunday, a little bit different to start your week with a Sunday game. And the Rain had the lead in the first period. Gabriel Vilardi, new addition to the roster, a returning player for the Rain, but new this season, scored right away. But Ontario just, they didn't have their mojo on the offensive side of the puck, specifically on the power play, and they got behind and couldn't come back.
Yeah, you know, they had 33 shots on goal and only scored twice, which is a little bit uncharacteristic for them. I thought Gabriel Vilardi looked really good. He came out with a little jump in his step. He tied for the team lead in shots that game. And you know what? The Rain, you know, they had a bunch of power play opportunities, just 1-for-5 on the power play, which, you know, you get a power play goal. But again, this is a Rain team that leads the league in power play percentage. They were 1-for-5, had a couple of big ones early on, couldn't capitalize. Stockton ended up taking 4 penalties in the first period, and the Rain did not convert on any of those power play chances. They didn't get another power play opportunity until a little bit later in the game when they ended up scoring on it. But, you know, there were just things that just didn't go Ontario's way in game one. And then we talked with head coach John Robleski after the game, and he said, you know what, if you were to show me that box score before we even took the ice, I'd say, yeah, we won the game. And they didn't. I don't think they particularly played poorly, but it definitely wasn't the Rain team that we've been used to seeing. And then a couple of bad penalties in the second period pretty much did them in. Couple of power play goals for Stockton, and that was pretty much it. Stockton was content, kind of retreating a little bit in the third period, chipping the puck out into the neutral zone and basically telling Ontario, come attack, keep coming, and we're going to keep chipping it back out. And that's kind of what we saw in game one.
You know, it's interesting. And, you know, you take those comments from Robleski and you think about it for a little bit. And, you know, I think Ontario playing that way against a lot of other teams, whether it be in the Pacific Division or in the AHL as a whole, probably do come out with a win. It just shows the opponent that they went up against and the mentality that you have to win on a nightly basis. And they've had a good mentality. They have a great record, but you give Stockton a lot of credit. You know, they're a team that nobody really expected to be as good as they are. And they're showing it on a night in, night out basis.
Yeah. And they've got a couple of really good players on that team. One of them is Adam Ruzicka. He scores in game one and suddenly he's tied with Martin Furk for the most goals in the AHL. And game one, without an assist or a goal in game one, Martin Furk's 7 or 8 game point streak came to an end. So it was kind of one of those things where, all right, you finally met another team that, you know, can really match up well against you. And things just didn't totally go in Ontario's favor. Again, it wasn't a bad game by any means. And even John Robleski had said, there are a lot of things we did on Friday night or on Friday night. Wow, we're all turned around here. On Sunday afternoon, that they had not done this season at all in a good way. He said there were good things that we did in this game that we haven't done all season. So he was happy. He seemed to be in good spirits after the game too. But again, like, it's a Stockton team that does things better than other teams in this division do. And the first time these two teams met this year, it's kind of what we expected, a back and forth game. It was like that for both games. And it just, on Sunday afternoon, Stockton came away with it.
I think I've either said or written about 12 different times Friday this week when I meant Sunday, because You know, you just don't have a Sunday, Monday series. It just doesn't happen. So that is an acceptable mistake because it's very rare to see that happen.
Thank you for the validation.
Yes. Well, I just wanted to let you know that I have done that many times myself, including, I think, about 10 minutes before we started recording this. I wrote Friday and almost sent someone an email and then realized, no, that was Sunday. But, you know, moving on to the second game, you know, I felt the second game was a lot of the same for Ontario in the first two periods. Like, they did some good things, but they allowed some chances against that Stockton capitalized on. And then all of a sudden, it finally clicked in the third period. And the third period was the best period of the week for the Reign. They scored three unanswered goals. They only had four shots, and they scored on three of them. But they did not allow really many grade A chances for Stockton. Once they took the lead, they kept building on it. They kept attacking. And it all really actually started with the captain. I think, you know, talking to some people after the game, it really Brett Sutter in the locker room before the third period kind of willed this team to an extra level, to the next gear, and got the win.
Yeah, something just seemed a little bit different. The game seemed very similar to Sunday's game. But something seemed a little bit different with the way that the team came back in the second half of the game after trailing for pretty much the entirety of the second period and a good portion of the game. Brett Sutter, you know, we talked with Sean Durzi after the game, and he said that Sutter just brought a really, really good energy to that game, and everybody else fed off of it. I do want to point out, back to that first game, first time this season that the Reign have scored first and ended up losing the game. And then a little bit of a similar situation on Monday night. The Reign score first, just 2:13 into the game. Tyler Madden's first goal in eight games. A minute and 40 seconds later, the team was losing. So it was very, I mean, Stockton scores very quickly. They can totally flip the game around in a very short amount of time. And that's what happened. 3:55 into the game after scoring the first goal, Ontario was losing the game and trailed for a majority of the game after that. They had tied it with Tyler Madden again, but early in the second period, Stockton took the lead. And then the third period starts, and we had kind of talked in the intermission, just the two of us off the air going, all right, what are we going to get here? Who's going to score? What's going to happen? And 2 minutes into the period, Brett Sutter scored. You saw the energy in his celebration after the goal. He forced a turnover and scored unassisted, and something at that point just flipped. It felt different. And when the Reign started to pull away at the end, scoring quickly two more times, you just had a feeling like, this is how the game's going to go. This is how this third period is going to be. The Reign have taken over the game.
A couple points off of that. First, want to go back to Tyler Madden because I want to brush over his performance. He's been definitely someone that has done some great things at times, but inconsistent is a word that we can use. And I think for myself, you know, I look at Tyler Madden, having watched him played in college at Northeastern and knowing that he was here last year. Number one, you know, last year, as far as his status as a prospect goes, last year was so hard for everybody. And it was particularly hard for Tyler Madden, who was injured most of the year. Technically, he's still an AHL rookie this year because he didn't play enough games to qualify last year. So you really almost have to consider Madden as more of a rookie than a second-year player. And so there's going to be some inconsistencies, and there's going to be some highs. And we saw it on Monday. That was maybe his, you know, one of his best games. I don't know if I want to say it was his best game, but it was one of his best games. And it helps that, you know, there's been some more talent that's been injected in the lineup. You've got TJ Tynan, Gabriel Velarde, those players being in have pushed other guys down. I mean, Austin Wagner was playing a fourth line role last night for this team. And he's a guy that was talked about and, you know, obviously was with the Kings last year, talked about as being with the Kings again this year. He's playing on the fourth line for Ontario. So the roster is deep, and Madden's going to be playing with great line mates when the roster is that deep. But, you know, I think as far as just looking at him and his individual status as a prospect, we need to see more nights of like we saw on Monday than what we might have seen the games before that.
Yeah, and he brought a different energy to that game. His whole performance just felt different. Before the season, we had talked to him at the rookie faceoff in Arizona, and he looked really good in that tournament. And he scored a couple of big goals. He had a really nice shootout goal against the Arizona Coyotes in Glendale in the big NHL building. And we had talked to him, and he said, look, like last year was so hard, right? Kind of like you said, Jared, last year was hard for everybody, but for him, he was hurt most of the year. Like you said, he's still technically an AHL rookie. And he said, I just want to get shots at right at this point where I'm at in my development right now. I just want to keep taking shots. I want to get shots. I want to rack up my shot totals. And early on this season, he was leading the Rain in shots almost every game through the first week or so. Across that 5-game homestand to start the year, he was leading the team in shots almost every single game. After that, his shot totals have gone down drastically over the course, you know, game by game by game, it's gone down. Yesterday or on Monday, he only took 3 shots and he scored on 2 of them. And it's gotten to the point where, for me, looking at Tyler Madden, it's no longer about getting all of those shots. It's about taking advantage of the shots that you are taking. And that's what he did last night, scoring 2 quick goals. We're all turned around schedule wise, but scores those 2 quick goals on Monday. And it was just a first period that there was still a heck of a lot of hockey to be played, but it just seemed like that's a period that he needed to have to kind of bring everything back up to the level that we know that he's been playing at over the course of the last year or so. And it was just a different feel for him that game. And I think it brought a lot to the lineup. And ultimately, second star of the game, scores twice and helps lead the Rain to a win.
I think that the shots was a good thing. I think he needs to try to get back to taking 5-6 shots on goal each game. Because I think that seems like his game a little bit more. Like, that's when he's playing well, as he's generating those opportunities. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how his year continues. And obviously, you know, it's just part of it is just sharing the wealth. There's just so many players. And, you know, the great thing about this team is they're not relying on one guy, and they do have some guys that are going to contribute more than others. Martin Ferk, TJ Tynan being 2 of those guys, but they were held off the score sheet in the game on Monday, and the Rain still scored 5 goals and won. So that just shows, you know, it's not just about them. If they're not on, there are plenty of other guys that can step up and carry the load.
Yeah, it's super important. And that's something we actually talked about last week on the show, was the secondary scoring and how it seemed like, especially through the first 5 games of the year, all those 5 games, that 5-game homestand to open the season, it seemed like you were getting production from everybody. Sure, TJ Tynan was great racking up all the assists. Marty Ferk was scoring a bunch of goals, but everybody was contributing and getting on the score sheet. That's what you saw, a split against the Stockton Heat, the Western Conference leaders. The Rain are 2nd and 3rd in the league, Stockton 2nd in the league. And you split with these guys, you score a total of 7 goals in 2 games against them. And Martin Ferk and TJ Tynan don't score a single time. They're not even on the score sheet. I think that's huge for the Rain, because it shows that they can compete at a high level without having to rely on their top 2 scorers to constantly keep this team in games. And you saw the production from pretty much everybody. And it took a lot to get that win on Monday, and they got it.
TJ Tynan would like to remind you that he had an assist on
Gabe
Vilardi's
goal. He did have an assist in game 1. Yeah, he assisted Gabe Vilardi's goal. And in the office, Matt McElroy insists that Marty Ferk scored on Sunday. He did not, though.
One more thing before we get to the Alex Turcotte interview. And it's been great to see all of the recognition that Sean Durzi has gotten. I think since we recorded our last podcast, we were talking about how great he was playing, but weren't sure about, you know, where he might be looked at and fit in the organization. And he's been recognized. He's gotten 2 call-ups. At the time of this recording, he has not yet played an NHL game, but, you know, you look at it and I'm not sure that he's got a ton more to prove at the AHL level, as far as he at least earned himself, in my opinion, a shot to get in the lineup. Now, you know, I'm not saying he doesn't have things to work on. That's not the case. He definitely has things to work on. And I'm not saying he's going to stick with the Kings, because we don't know how he's going to do. But I think, based off of his play, both this season and in previous seasons, seems like he's at least earned himself a chance. Hopefully there is a chance for him to get in the lineup with the LA Kings, see what he can do. And I mean, he's guy's just tearing up the American League right now. 7 points in his last 2 games, a 4.9 Tucson. Then he gets called up, doesn't get into a game with LA, comes back to Ontario to play in the Monday game against Stockton, 3 assists, first star of the game, played on the offside as well, which is, if you want to hear him speak about that too, You can check out our interview with him post-game on the Reigns YouTube channel. Finds out he's coming to Ontario, finds out he's playing the game, finds out he's playing on his offside, and then he has one of the best games of his season. And it just shows, you know, what a great attitude he has, and that's why we're rooting for him. We hope that he can do some good things with the Kings whenever he gets that opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great guy, and he's got a great attitude. And you said this on the broadcast on Monday, that Sean Durzi is a guy who likes to play in Ontario. Like he enjoys being around the team and being around the rink. And of course, like you said, he's tearing up the AHL. He's ninth in the league in scoring as a defenseman. He's second in the league in points among D-men behind Scott Perunovic, who got called up into the NHL a couple of days ago. But at the same time, he leads the league in goals among defensemen. He's contributing on both sides of the ice, in the offensive zone and his own zone. And then beyond all that, he's got a great attitude about everything. And, you know, sometimes you see guys who get called up and then don't get the opportunity and then get sent back down real quick to see where they're going to be at. Well, his first game back, he has three assists and has, like you said, probably one of the best games of his season so far, and gets called back up immediately. So you like to see that for Sean Durzi, and idling here, waiting to see if he's going to get a crack in the LA lineup sometime soon.
Well, it is time to turn it over to our conversation with Alex Turcotte. Alex really appreciated his time that he gave to us and got to learn a little bit more about how his season is going, how his relationship has continued with head coach John Robleski, and a little bit of his off-ice habits as well. So we hope you enjoy our conversation with Alex Turcotte.
This week on the Rain Check podcast, we are joined by Rain forward Alex Turcotte, former first-round pick by the LA Kings. Alex, great to be with you, and thanks for taking a few minutes with us today.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me. Excited to do this.
Yeah, and man, you guys have had quite the start to the season, winning so many games at the start of the year. You know, the room is really light. Everybody's having a good time, a lot of laughing. What's it been like for you to be on a team that's had so much success?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of fun. We have a really great group of guys off the ice, and obviously everyone knows how talented we are on the ice, so it's a great mix. And I mean, from the difference from last year to this year with the winning already, it's definitely nice. And yeah, we just got a great group of guys and a lot of really talented players.
Where's the season, or how's the season been like for you just through the first couple of weeks, especially compared to last season?
No, yeah. So last year, we have a lot of the same guys, and we just have that year of experience under our belt. And obviously, they brought in some really good vets too, like Tynes, who won the MVP. So that's been a lot of fun having him on our team. He's such a great player. And I had a lot of injuries to start last year as well, so it made it pretty difficult to hop back in. So hopefully we keep it going and I stay healthy. And that's all I'm really trying to do is just stay healthy and help the team, and hopefully we can keep the good times rolling.
Something that we've kind of talked about a handful of times with different players, the coaching staff, is kind of the issue of last year with the weird COVID season, just kind of serve a little bit as like a buffer year. Does it seem to be that way for you and maybe other guys on the team?
I mean, I don't know. Like, I guess it's easy to look at that now because we're doing so well this year, but I think all of us came in the last season wanting to win and like do well and produce right away. And you don't really know how hard it is, I guess, like the schedule and how many good players are in the league until you hop in. Because, I mean, truthfully, like we all grow up watching the NHL, like that's what we're told, that like, all those players are the best players in the world, and they are, but there's a lot of really good players still in the AHL that they're playing for jobs and that's like their livelihood as well. And you're just not like really informed too much about it, I guess, like growing up. Like luckily for me, I knew a little bit about it because my dad played in the AHL for a lot of years, and to experience it and play against a lot of really great players in the league, it's been eye-opening for sure. And it's a tough league to play in for sure too. So it's been a lot of fun though.
You mentioned one of those guys who's been in the league is TJ Tynan, and you know, having him on your team, obviously you're not playing with him on a line, but from what I've understood from guys, like just watching him, you pick up different things. Has that been the case for you to be able to watch him and kind of see some of the things that he does and maybe adapt them into your game?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I think for me, I try to watch him like how he is on the power play and how he carries the puck up the ice and drives his line, like how he makes plays, and he's always making his line mates better. Because I think, for me, I like to carry the puck as well too and try to make plays offensively and kind of be a line driver. So, he's the best player on our team, and it's a treat to get to learn from him. And I built a pretty good relationship with him as well. He's hilarious, and he's my roommate on the road too. So he's always chirping me, and we kind of go at it a little bit. But, just having him, like I said, he's so good offensively and so approachable, and it's been a pleasure to play with him.
Seems like kind of the way that you just described your relationship with TJ Tynan, it seems like we have a couple different relationships like that on the team. We talked to Cameron Gonson one of our last episodes, and he says he kind of has that same type of relationship with Jordan Spence. Does it seem like there's a dynamic kind of like that between different pairs of guys on the team?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Like, I think for a lot of us, like Spenny and I think Gonser room together on the road as well. So, like, Tynes and I room together. So it's just kind of funny. Like, I think maybe they did that on purpose. But, it definitely keeps it light in the room too. And it's always funny because of the age gaps too.
Right.
So, like, example, I'll send some stuff to Tynes, like something I think it's funny on Instagram, and he'll just like reply like, dude, like what's wrong with you or something like that. Or like, dude, you're so dumb. And I love it. It's so funny. And it's kind of like a relationship. We just kind of jab at each other a little bit. But I think a few guys, like you said, Gonser and Spenny. I know I sit next to Furkey and dudes in the locker room, and they room together too on the road too. So they have some funny comments with each other too. So, but I think that's huge for our team and why we're all really close off the ice. And I think that's helping us on the ice too.
Obviously another big piece of the team is your head coach, and you've known Robo for a while. Have you seen any change at all? I mean, I'm sure he's seen changes in you as you've grown up, but for him, as he's learned and moved up a little bit, like what have you noticed that's maybe a little different about him?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is, he's obviously, like, the same person. And, we still do a lot of the same drills that I did in junior. So, like, it's kind of funny. Some guys are always asking me sometimes about what drills we're doing or just the names of the drills. We kind of laugh at it sometimes. But, I think the great thing about Robo is, like, he's still the same way how he was with us in juniors. I think maybe he's just more intense now, but I guess that makes sense because we're pros and like you're getting paid to do it. And when we were junior players, like obviously that wasn't the case. We were still in high school. So just the intensity, I think it's brought up to another level, and it's great because it pushes us to be prepared every day. And I think you need that intensity to kind of get things done and get results and get better. So.
The other thing is there is that age gap. So, you know, how do you see him working maybe a little bit differently with some of the younger guys versus, you know, a Sutz or a Gonser or a guy who, like Furkey who's been in the league and who's had success in the league?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's pretty intense with everyone, honestly. Like he kind of gets his point across the way he sees best fit. So I don't think he is really like I don't know if he's like harder on the younger guys or anything like that. I think he's just, pretty much the same. Maybe he's a little harder on us younger guys, but I don't really notice it. I'm just trying to learn from him and the rest of our coaches and trying to get better every day. I know they're just trying to help us get better. So that's what's really important.
How beneficial is it for you? I guess not just for you, but for a lot of the other younger players on the team, to get a chance to work with Robo, someone that you already know, but coming from the National Team Development Program where the goal was to continue developing the young players.
Yeah, I think, he gives a lot of responsibility to a lot of us young players. And like last year, for example, we had a lot of responsibility and it was a big learning year for us. And we took a lot of losses because of it. But I think this year it's helped a lot. We're all a lot more prepared. We know what to expect. We know how we need to play. And he builds that confidence in us too. I mean, he might be hard on some guys, but like, I think a lot of guys feel comfortable with playing their game and trying to do what they're good at to help the team. And I think Robo is good with that too. And I think that's a huge part of development, is playing the way you're supposed to and playing the way why you got drafted and that sort of thing, and not kind of changing your game completely, just kind of fine tuning it into what makes you the best possible version of yourself. So
wanted to take you back to a few years ago. You had to make a decision. You're at the NTDP, and Wisconsin was your next destination. But and I know your dad's probably very influential in your career. He was a guy who had played in major junior, won a Memorial Cup. What was it like to kind of go through that process of deciding whether to play juniors and whether to go to college when you had someone like that who has some experience?
Yeah. I mean, I think when I was like 13, I started like learning about the NTDP and kind of figuring out what that was and like all the great players that have come through there. And I didn't really know what it was exactly, but I got to like 14, 15. I kind of understood it more, and that was definitely one of my goals, was to play on that team. Whether or not I was going to make it, I wasn't quite sure, but I knew from like before that I even got to the tryout to like stage, that's where I wanted to play, more so than OHL. It was just, I don't know, like the OHL is a great league too. It's just something about playing for your country. It's pretty special. And I just thought for me, like that was my best way to develop. And you know, those practices were really tough, and we had so many sick players. It was a lot of fun to be around those guys, and I'm still close with so many of them. So I'm happy I went that route. But yeah, it was just more like playing for the U.S. and kind of getting used to practicing that hard in training, I guess. Because I mean, I didn't really like work out that much before I went to juniors. I don't think many people did. You kind of just skate like twice a day or do like lessons and like skill stuff, but you're not really sure about the weight room stuff. And I think that was huge for me, is going there and learning how to train. So, yeah, my dad wanted me to play there too. So, fortunately for me, it worked out, and I made the team and kind of went from there. And then by the time I picked that route, I was planning on going to college anyways. And my dad wanted me to go to college as well. My grandpa played college hockey, even though my dad did. Played major junior, my grandpa played college, and he was a big part of that decision too. So yeah, I know I was pretty comfortable with it, and that's kind of the route I wanted to go. So
your grandfather played at Michigan State, so kind of in that same, you know, in the Big Ten. But
yeah,
when you go from the development program to college hockey, aside from the fact that sometimes ages in college hockey can be a little weird, there's some guys that are going to be older than you were at the time, what do you think the biggest like transition was for you going from the NTDP to Wisconsin?
Yeah, I think obviously playing against the older competition, because in the USHL, like we played USHL most games, and then international tournaments against our own age. So there's a big difference between playing other 17 and 18 year olds and playing like someone that's 23, 22. So I think that was a big thing for me, and kind of just like the lifestyle too, from juniors to college, was kind of something that I had to figure out, because you're not with a billet family, you're not with your parents anymore, and no one's cooking you dinner anymore and that kind of thing. So kind of had to figure out how to schedule your day, going to classes, and then managing that too, like all the free time you have as well. So I would say like the lifestyle is probably the biggest thing, more so than hockey.
Take us through, and this is something I know you spoke about once at least, because I know Josh brought it up to me, but I had not heard this. So for someone that hadn't heard it, take us through you signing. I mean, what a week or two weeks that must have been. And, you know, you obviously sign, and then the world ends, basically.
Yeah, that was crazy. No one really thought that was ever going to happen. But basically I think it was like March 11th. I signed my contract pre-COVID. So maybe, was that 2019 maybe?
2020.
Yeah, sorry. Exactly. It just seems like so long.
I know. They're all rolled together.
Yeah, no, but I signed, and I flew right to LA, and I remember like everyone was telling me to like don't touch anything, like sanitize, but like right. So whatever, it was just a big mess. But basically on the plane ride, I had Wi-Fi on my phone, and I saw that the NBA got canceled, and I was like, whoa, like that's crazy. Like no one ever thought that was going to happen because people started testing positive for COVID. And I still didn't even really know what COVID really was. Like you heard, like I remember that whole year, like we heard about it, and it was like a meme or something on social media, which is terrible now if you think about it, like with how it's turned out. Like it's a serious thing, and it's killed a lot of people. So it's unfortunate, but yeah, I just, I don't know. Like I saw the NBA get canceled, and I got there, and then the next day they were doing all the physical stuff with me to get cleared. And it's funny, like, the team, like Mike Stothers was the coach at the time, and they were like waiting for me. They had a meeting. They were waiting for me to get cleared. And when I got to the meeting, it was basically just telling them that like the season was over and like everyone just go home, like, cause of COVID.
Right.
So like I got there, and then yeah, like the next day it was like pretty much like, okay. Like,
so did you go home then? Did you just
leave? I stayed here for a couple of days, but then I was like, yeah, like they told me to, like, obviously everyone was leaving. So I was like, yeah, I would go home. Like, and I mean, yeah, we didn't even get back here until, I mean, the season didn't start, I don't even know, until like December or January. Yeah. So, yeah, it was pretty crazy. A little unfortunate too. Like, I mean, but at the same time, like, that's a pretty big thing in our history now. So there's nothing you can really do about it. Like, it was a crazy, crazy turn of events.
What'd you do in the, like, 4 days you were here after you got here and everything?
Like, nothing ended? Was closed yet. So, like, I just, like, walked around, like, Manhattan, like, kind of, like, hung with some of the guys, but yeah, like nothing really. Like I was maybe here for another like 2 days and then went back home because it was just there. That's when they started closing stuff down. And but yeah, it was like really weird, like because they ended the season, but like you didn't have to wear a mask yet in like places, and stuff was opening, but then stuff started closing. And then when I got home to Illinois like that next week, like that's when like everything was shut down and we were pretty much at home for like a month. So,
well, you've had plenty of time to be around this area now when things have started to open back up a little bit more. And I know you mentioned, you know, Manhattan Beach, that area. What is your favorite beach in the area that you've been to? Where's your spot if you're going to go to the beach for a day? Where do you want to go?
Yeah, I mean, both Manhattan and Hermosa are great. I lived in Hermosa last year, and this year I live in Manhattan, and I love both. Like, they're awesome. Like if you're looking to go to the pier, I like going to Manhattan Pier, but beach, I think a lot of us, like when all the boys hang out and stuff, when we do go to the beach, it's usually Hermosa. And that's the one I'm more familiar with. So I'd probably pick Hermosa, but I like both. So
have you noticed that for me, at least out here, the beach is it's very active. You got your volleyball, there's biking. Yeah. What's your activity of choice when you're at the beach?
My activity is just putting my chair in the sand and watching everything happen. I mean, yeah, like you said, though, it's crazy. Like there's people playing volleyball, like competitively, they're playing like that one game. It's like, it's not like pickleball, but it's beach tennis.
Spike ball?
Well, they're doing spike ball too, but there's like beach tennis too. Yeah. Or I think that's
it's like called. Pickleball, but it's on the beach.
Yeah, like you can't let it hit the ground, obviously.
Like badminton?
Yeah, but it's like with like a ball. It's interesting. Yeah, it's kind of like that, though. But yeah, there's a whole different, and then they got surfers and people just swimming in the ocean. So it's cool. Like, especially this time of year, like I'm not from here. Like most of us aren't. So to be able to have this nice weather and like go outside and like see everyone so active, it's definitely like completely different than a lot, than it is back home.
What I took from that is you're a beach chair kind of guy, not a put the towel on the sand kind of guy.
No, like I'll put the towel on the sand if I have to. I used to when I first got here, but I've been here for, this is my second year now. So I went and got a nice chair. When I do go, I just like relaxing and hang on the chair. I know the boys love playing volleyball. I'm not too into it. Like I like it, but I just, I'm thinking if I'm going to the beach, I'm chilling. Like I'm tired from the rink. Like I just want to relax. But yeah,
lived here my whole life, right? Minus 4 years in college. Don't like sand. Have never brought a chair to the beach.
Really?
Yeah, I sit in the sand the whole time. I don't know why.
Really?
I got it. He picked it up in a year, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's sometimes it's in the summer, it's so hot. Like, you know, like you can't really, I feel like the sand like can get so hot and it just burns my feet. So I don't know how people do that. I'm a chair guy.
If I have the option. Now, sometimes, you know, when I would go like in South Carolina where I was before this, like I didn't have a chair. Like I just would go with towel. But now, like you said, I got the chair going.
Cleaner too.
Yeah,
we don't have to worry about it. So.
Yeah, I gotta figure that out. So okay, so you said a lot of times you like to relax. You know, you don't necessarily partake in the volleyball all the time when some of the other guys do. So that gives you time to watch. Who's the best volleyball player on the team?
There's a couple guys that are pretty good. Like I know like Dudas is pretty good. Madden.
I was going to say, at Dev Camp, Mads was –
yeah, like Mads, Dudes, and Ingham were like a great team. they always play together. They're really good. But, like, they're taking it so serious. I'm just like, good for them. Like, they're really good. But, yeah, that's probably – those are probably, like, the best guys. Maybe I'm missing someone out. I hopefully I'm not. Hopefully. I don't know. I'm also, like, just kind of talking, too. So maybe I'm not always paying attention, but – I've only played a few times, and the one time I did play, I hit in the face going for a ball, so I was like, all right, I'm done.
Who do you spend the most time with in general outside of the rink? Who do you find yourself with?
I live with Jordan Spence, so I'm with him all the time, which is hilarious. Like, we're really close. He's the best kid ever, and it's pretty cool living with him. Like, we were good buddies at Dev Camp a couple years ago. We got drafted in the same year, so it's been awesome living with him, and definitely a lot of fun. And he, I mean, he's always on his Xbox. Like, he's not gonna like that, says, but no, I'm just, but we play a lot of Xbox together. Right now, we're playing a lot of Call of Duty, so we're always on that. And it's a lot of fun living with him. And yeah, I think we're all the young guys are pretty close. Like, we all on the road go out to dinner with the boys and stuff. And, when we can, and I mean, yeah, but it's a lot of Xbox lately. Me, Berkey, Spenny, and Helgi sometimes, and Marcus Phillips. Been playing a lot of Call of Duty. So,
what other games you guys have in the collection?
Well, before the new one came out, we were playing. I've always been a big NHL guy. Mm-hmm. No one else, but I'm pretty like that's the one game like I'm actually really good at. So like. I like play it because I'm really good at it, but like I'm not like that great at the other stuff. Like, so I play NHL, but the rest of the boys like maybe Fortnite or like Warzone. Okay. And some guys maybe FIFA, but I probably just play like COD or Fortnite lately. And Spenny's like unbelievable at COD, so we just kind of play with him, and it's so funny. Like we're all just like kind of just talking on the mic, like not really paying attention, just like kind of like just hanging out, and he like. Our monitors are close to each other. I see him like looking over, and he's dialed in, but he's so good, so it's like kind of funny. But.
Does anyone hang with you in Chell at all?
I mean, Akil's pretty good. I would say Quinn Byfield's also really good, yeah. But I don't really. Yeah, he's really good too. But I stopped playing. I don't really play it that much.
Did you find like with Chell? Because for me, I was really into it when I was younger. Then kind of lost track of it, and then. Pandemic shut everything down. Everyone's at home. Oh. I try to get back into it. I go online to try to play other people, and I'm just getting smoked.
Yeah.
Like, do you notice, like, you go online and, like, how could somebody be that good? Like, they're just really, really good.
Yeah, no. I mean, like, I've always kind of played it. Like, I've kept tabs on it. So, like, at least, like, I've always – I don't feel like I'm, like, ever, like, overwhelmed or anything. But, yeah, some people are – I mean, it's just, like, anything. Like, some people are just really good at that stuff. But – I don't have the time to, right. We don't have the time to kind of do that, but like, it's pretty cool, I guess. But, yeah, that's, I don't know. It's a lot of fun though, playing with those guys, just kind of like it's more just hanging out on the mic and kind of just, like talking about stuff. It's a lot of fun. So.
So, I mean, I'd like to think I'm pretty filthy in Chell, but I think there'd be a lot of people that would beg to differ. Comes to Fortnite. I stopped playing that. Because I could not build. Yeah, can you build?
No. See, like, that's another. No, like, I play Fortnite because, like, Spenny will be like, this is before the new COD came out. We don't play anymore because we're playing that. But, like he'd say like, hop, like, let's play, come on. So like we'd play with like, sometimes we play COD with him too, but Rasmus Kapari too. He likes video games as well. So like we'll play with him, but like he'd tell me to hop on with them, and like his buddies back home too, like will play with us. And like they're just like, Spenny's cracked at Fortnite too. Like he's just building and like skyscrapers, and it's just hilarious to watch. Like I just can't believe it. I think it's so funny. And I just like chirp him for being like a nerd about it, but it's just it's funny though.
I think the problem for him now, when he comes on the podcast, it's going to be all questions about how good he is and what his strategies are.
Yeah, when you get Spenny on, just for sure. I mean, I'm sure you'll see this somewhere, but definitely just rip him about it, because that's the only reason I chirp him, is because he's good. Like, he's right. He's the best, like, out of everyone on the team. So it's just funny. I just, like, kind of chirp him for it. But
who do you think is the best trash talker when you guys are just on the mic?
I mean, Spenny's pretty good, too, like, at chirping. I don't know. Like, are you talking about, like, within the, like, the group or?
Yeah, within your group of whoever you guys are playing on, whatever you're playing. Like, if you're playing Call of Duty, yeah. Like, who's chirping the most?
I don't know. Like, I think Spenny or me, we're probably chirping. But like I know I'm not like that great,
right?
So like I'm more just doing it to just kind of like be funny and like just like,
you're like messing buttons.
Yeah, messing people. I'm a button pusher for sure. I'm not really like trying to get anything out of it, just getting a laugh. So but like sometimes it's funny, like with Jordan, he just like, he's so good at the game that he'll actually like chirp people for not being good at the game. It's just, I don't know. It's just funny. Like, and none of us are good. Like we're just like, you're basically just chirping us. Like, we suck too. Like, you're telling this other guy he's bad. Like, well, we're just as bad as him. Because like, he's so good. But no, it's funny.
Well, we do probably need to wrap it up because of him, right? So you got to drive him somewhere.
Yeah, so. Yeah, I'm his chauffeur too. So I think I get a, that's why he lets me chirp him a little bit. I'm driving him around, but no.
Couple more then. On my end, I was going to ask you, you're part of the Movember group here, of guys who are growing the stashes out. How's that been for you? How's the stash, and who else on the team do you admire their lip fuzz?
Yeah. I thought it'd be better at this point, like what mine looks like. Like it's okay. Like I can't grow that much, so it's getting a little greasy. But hopefully by the end, I have a good picture to show everyone. But no, it's been good, and it's for a good cause. So, you know, it's a lot of fun with the guys to do that for a good cause, and probably like the there's a couple funny ones. Like I always like dude asses for some reason. I don't know, he just cracks me up. So like his, like Furkey's is really good. His really is good. Dark, like dark too. Like I don't know, he might be dying that thing. Like, but it's really good. Sparksy today, I saw him like shaving or whatever, and
he's trying cleaning to up the rest of the beard.
Well, he was trying to make like Trailer Park Boys like Ricky's sideburns, like, and it was pretty funny. But he's got some good one. Gauntzers is good too. I know he's raised the most, so I have to throw him in there. Right. He's raised the most money, but
he's working hard at it.
Yeah, he's grinding. He's
letting everyone know.
Yeah, for sure too. Yeah.
Switching it up a little bit, we had kind of talked about, you know, what you do around here, like what, you know, the people you hang out with around here. Somebody that's out here is your Uncle Jeff. He works for the LA Junior Kings. He's been out here for a long time. How often do you get to see him?
Yeah, I mean, not too much during the season. Like we're playing a lot and practicing, and he's not here at the rink till like later in the day, till we're gone. But we text or and call, so not like too much, but a decent amount, and a lot more in the summer, I would say, because obviously not much going on. So, but I know he's coaching a few teams here. He's been here forever, so I stayed at his house when I had my appendicitis surgery at the end of the summer. So it's great spending time with them, you know, because I don't get to see him all the time. So just having him around is cool. And he's always giving me tips on my game and stuff, kind of like my dad. So I think it's funny. But I appreciate it, but it's just funny because
they both crack me up. So, no, it's cool though. And, yeah, like I said, he's worried about his team. So we just text and call here and there.
I guess we'd also ask you about when you came out here and you signed and everything and the world ended, right? Since he's been out here for so long, had you been out here before to kind of see him?
Yeah, we came. I played on some I played in a lot of tournaments with him growing up. Like because my cousin's a year older, so I would like play up with the older kids, and then he would like coach in like the spring tournaments. He'd do like West Coast Selects or something like that. Like, and we'd play in like tournaments in Chicago and like Detroit, where basically I grew up. So, like, it would be easy. For us to get there, and I'd play on his team. So like that was always really fun growing up, and. I played in a couple tournaments here too as a kid. So, when I was younger, like I remember playing at TSC when I was like seven or eight maybe. Which is funny now looking back at it. And, but yeah, not too much. My agency is out of here. So I've done like some agency camps. I've done two at TSC. So that was more like recent before the draft and stuff. So. I got a little bit familiar. Like, I knew what Manhattan Beach and, like, Hermosa Beach was when I got drafted. So, it was cool knowing that I was coming here. And I knew a tiny bit about it, I guess, before. So, not too much, though.
Well, Alex, we appreciate a few minutes of your time. This has been great. We enjoyed getting to know a little bit more about you. And congrats on all the success this year. It's been really enjoyable for us to watch you guys rack up some wins. So, we hope you keep doing it.
Yep. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks again, Alex, for joining us on the Rain Check this week. Jared Schaffer and Josh Schaefer wrapping up this episode. And a big week for the Rain. Two games coming up this weekend, one of them being Hockey Fights Cancer. And you know, if you follow hockey, which I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you do, all the leagues are participating in Hockey Fights Cancer month during November. The Rain and the Kings are no different. Kings just had their game recently. The Rain have theirs coming up this weekend. Specialty jerseys. It just, you know, I just heard a little bit more about our production for that game. Everybody who's involved, whoever's singing the national anthem, you know, people that are getting honored throughout the night have all gone through something. And it's just, it's a momentous night. I got to be at one of the games that the New York Rangers put on a few years ago, and they just did such an incredible job. You left the game feeling a little uplifted, like, man, I want to do more. I want these people to have some support. And, you know, I know our fans are going to support our players and those in the community by bidding on those jerseys, but, you know, it just means a little extra these games. And I think it's going to be a special night on Saturday.
Yeah. Obviously you have your specialty nights and your theme nights throughout the season and you wear your specialty jerseys, but this is a big one. The NHL does a very good job with it across all 31, now 32 teams. Same thing in the American Hockey League. It's such a big night. And the Rain have done very well with this night in the past. I think they've done a lot of really good things. And we're excited for this year's game coming up this weekend. There are ticket and t-shirt packs available. So for more information on that, check out OntarioRain.com. Really cool offer as well. Get you the t-shirt, get you a great ticket to the game. So those are available on the Rain website. But it's an exciting night, and we hope that you'll join us. And if not at the building, we've got you on AHL TV and across the Rain Broadcast Network. We'll be doing some fun stuff as well.
Before that, though, is Thanksgiving. And it's true. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday.
It's mine, too.
My number one. Is it really?
It is. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you can get better. You got great food. You got football. Get to hang out with your family. It's just like, I don't know, for myself, and this is nothing to do with any religious holidays, but I just love that Thanksgiving has really no religious element to it. You're not going to say something that offends somebody. It's just, hey, come over, hang out, watch football, eat some food. And, you know, now hockey's starting to get into it. You got your Black Friday game. That's always kind of a big deal on Black Friday. Obviously the Rain are playing this year on Black Friday, so won't be watching too much of the other games, but it just seems like Thanksgiving is one of those days where there's not many days during the year where things kind of just shut down and you can enjoy the holiday, enjoy the day.
I will tell you this, Thanksgiving Day football, I've never really had a team that plays regularly on Thanksgiving. Obviously, you've got the Cowboys, the Lions are always playing. I have never even really been invested in the Thanksgiving football games for fantasy purposes. And this year I've got fantasy players playing on Thanksgiving. So I'm really excited for that because most of the time I'm just sitting back, you know, you watch the football, whatever. But sometimes if you don't care about the teams, you're just kind of not paying much attention. Sometimes it's just the background noise. This year I'm excited. I'm ready for Thanksgiving football.
I love watching the Lions. It is going to be a very weird experience for me. I'm not a Lions fan. I want to clarify that. I just love watching the early football game on Thanksgiving. And it just, again, it's just one of those things. It's a tradition. You wake up, you got some time to relax. You got the Lions games always first. And I always enjoy watching that. Maybe I enjoy watching the Lions struggle. They're not usually very good. But this is going to be weird for me this year. It's my first year with Thanksgiving ever on the West Coast. And the game is going to be on really early. And I don't know like how I feel about that because I love it. Like I love football, but I usually like to kind of build up to it a little bit. I feel like this is just going to be, you wake up and the game is on and you don't have time to do anything to prepare yourself. It's just on, which is, I don't know how I'm going to handle that. It's going to be a tough thing for me. And I always really, by the time we get to the night game, the third game of the day, I've already had my food. I've already had my fill. Because again, usually it's on the East Coast, and you know I'm a Jets fan, so I have some
yikes
bad memories from the night game. Mark Sanchez, unfortunate, no. the butt fumble was the Thanksgiving night game against the Patriots. So
yeah.
I don't really do much with the night, but here now on the West Coast, the night game is not really the night game; it's more like the afternoon game. So. Maybe I'll have a different feeling as we move forward here.
Well, you bring out the pumpkin pie. I don't know if you're a pumpkin pie guy. I'm not.
Oh,
I dabble. I'm not a huge pumpkin pie guy. But then
dabbling with that. That's
you
my
bring
jam
out
right
the
there.
Dessert. You bring out the dessert for that quote unquote night game, and that's how you cap off the Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, but what time is that at? Like 5 o'clock or something? It's too early for dessert. I don't know. This time change is really throwing me, specifically for football. I feel like all the other sports I can handle the change, but
look,
football, just there's
daylight
so many
savings.
Different...
Daylight savings. It's getting darker earlier now. Just pretend it's a few hours later. You can probably get away with that.
Yeah. All right. yeah, I'm excited for Thanksgiving. I am a big pumpkin pie guy. I specifically, this is Schaffer family tradition. You got to make it with graham cracker crust.
Oh yeah,
specifically.
Oh, so of course, of course.
That's a go-to. What else? What's your go-to at the Thanksgiving dinner table?
Oh, so I'm a big turkey and mashed potatoes guy. I'll eat whatever else is out there. Sometimes my mother makes like a baked mac and cheese too. I'm big on that. But yeah, no, it's just my favorite because you got the football and the family and all that. But the food. What yeah. other holiday is just surrounds the food? So that's where I'm at.
Yep. Second straight year that I'm making the turkey myself this Ooh. Year. So we'll see. It went well last year. Had a good Thanksgiving. So trying to do the exact same recipe that I had last year. Don't want to change it up. Don't want to mess it up. And, you know, it should be a great holiday. So we hope everybody who is tuning in has a great holiday. Go ahead, Josh.
Well, you didn't give me a would you rather or like a question this week. So I'm going to propose one to you.
All
it
right,
might be
me.
Obvious. Light meat or dark meat?
I mean, obvious question, but not an obvious answer because there are many people that go, you know, with one or the other. I'm all dark meat.
Really?
Dark meat.
So you don't even touch the white meat.
I will, but no. I mean, not really. Honestly, if I'm at like somebody else's party, I want to be polite. I'll take like a little whatever. But if it's just like my turkey, I cooked it. It's all me. I get to make the choice. I'm going all dark meat.
All right.
It's got more flavor.
See, I'm a little bit of both.
I'll do it, but. No, it's I definitely favor the dark side for sure.
All right. All right.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one though. Yeah. And, you know, I think it's, yeah, like you said, it's just, to me, it's one of the best, days of the year for sure. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. And, we hope everybody has a great holiday, and we are really looking forward to, how this season continues to unfold here. A lot of games coming up for the Rain, a lot of home games over the next couple of weeks, couple road games as well that that we'll be traveling to a select few of those. We're trying to get our schedule all in sync and get as many games to you as we can. But yeah, we appreciate everybody tuning in. Hope you have a great holiday, and we'll talk to you in a few weeks.